Jesus never said you get what you deserve. Easter resurrection is all about that reality. Jesus rose again. That changes everything. Just being clear with you, if there's no resurrection and Jesus is still dead, physically, spiritually, then all of this that we're doing is a waste of time. You may live a little bit better of a life. You may be kinder to people, which is all wonderful. But if there's no resignation, if there's no resurrection, it's just nice words. So you got to come to terms with that. So when Jesus never says, you get what you deserve, if there's a resurrection, yes. If there isn't, I don't know what to do with his words, because his words may not be that relevant for us. Now, there are so many statements out there. You see them on T-shirts. You see them on bumper stickers. You see them all over the place, coffee mugs. You see them online, all these things that Jesus was supposed to have said, and often it's just misconstrued. It really isn't what it says on that coffee mug. So far, we've looked at two other subjects. We've looked at, I will forgive you, or if you forgive, I will forgive you. Like, God won't forgive us if we don't forgive someone else. To hear the details about that, you need to go back to last Sunday and listen to the message. Then Good Friday night, we saw that Jesus never said, God will do what makes you happy. Never said that. So if you're listening to a message and it's tied in with spirituality and God and all those kinds of things, God never said his goal in our lives on the planet for this chapter of life is to make us happy. When you are happy, that's a bonus, but that's not what he did all this for. And it becomes apparent when you actually think of his son giving his life for us. Jesus wasn't happy about that, in a sense. There was the happiness of what the action would do, but in the garden, we looked at that Friday night, in the garden, he said, if there's any way this cup can be passed from me, if I don't have to do this, that would be great, but not my will, but your will, O God. And he died on the cross for us and rose again. So these ideas of Jesus never said that. Next week, we'll be finishing things up with that Jesus never said you won't have bad days. So back to today's subject, you get what you deserve. He doesn't say that, and what a relief. Because if I'm honest with you and look at my life and look at some of the bad things I've done, I never got fully paid back for those things. And I'm very thankful for that. And when I think of eternity, and when I think of the next chapter of life being with God, heaven, versus being from God, hell, I know that I can't be good enough to do that, to make it. I can't tip the scale. There's just not one more piece of goodness. And if I could just do that, whoop, I'm in. Or if I just don't do that, I'm out. It just doesn't sound really great to me. And Jesus doesn't talk about that. That's the reason Jesus came. If we could, in our goodness, earn our way, it was a waste for him to have him die for us. His loving Heavenly Father was not that loving to have his son die for us if it didn't have any real effect. That's ridiculous. We think about wars and we think about things that are going on in our world, and we hope and pray that conflicts don't escalate. But every once in a while, some of our servicemen lose their life, service women lose their life, even in just exercises, they're training to protect us. And if we thought the loss of that life, that loss of that loved one was for nothing, it would tick us off deeply. Jesus died for something so that you and I would not have to die eternally for our sins. He does that for us. So it's a great relief. Now, that little video showed you in advance actually happened yesterday. Bill was over there taking a video of the sun, and I was zipping by in my car, and I saw him. I turned around, and I drive a little too fast sometimes. I actually have added this setting this week on the front of my dashboard. When I go too fast, a little beep comes on because it happens every once in a while. I'm not going to tell you what it's set at, but when I'm going super fast, when I break 100, the beep comes on. No, it's much lower than that. But I need to say this carefully because I know there's some law enforcement. I deserve a ticket for doing that, breaking the speed limit. And I think at least one of you have done it also. Every once in a while I get pulled over and gracious officer says, we'll let it go this time. And what do? You drive off slowly and about 2 hours later you're zipping around town just like you never ran into him. Or when you drive by and they don't come out, same thing. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in trouble, just in general in life. But Jesus came so that we wouldn't get what we deserve. I mean, when we think about ourselves, we never like this view. You know, we're zipping along, we're going crazy, we're just, whatever. And, but when somebody else comes by, we like this view. Oh, they got, you know, if you're driving and someone zips by you, you're happy they got what they deserve. And especially around here, when someone's driving down 96 in this honking four-wheel thing, and you're trying to go as fast as you can because you don't want to seem like you're poking along and it's just a little snow, and they come out and around you and snow goes up in your face in the car, you're doing this. But then you come around and you see this, you're actually very happy. But again, when you see this, you're not so happy. So we're two-faced when it comes to this, you get what you deserve. But Jesus made it possible that we don't have to get what we deserve because he offers his life for us. There's the story, there's the part of the death and suffering of Jesus Christ when he's dying on the cross and he's up there, and I'm going to just read through this to you. When they came to the place called the Skull, you've heard of that, Golgotha, they crucified him there. This is Jesus, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Just stop and ponder that. That Jesus would cut some slack for those that were crucifying him, that he would forgive them, even on the spot. Go back to driving. If someone cuts me off, I'm irritated with them. I hope they end up in the ditch. It's not like forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Fortunately, it's true that we don't get what we deserve. I can't believe the next line. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So here he's on the cross. They're separating his little clothes. There's another part that talks about that he had one robe. They wouldn't rip it because it was more valuable together. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. There was no remorse. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one. Another passage says, those crucified, the rebels, another version says, with him also heaped insults on him. Two people on the cross next to him, they're giving him a hard time while he's dying, undeserved for us. We read on. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But there's a change of heart. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Getting what you deserve. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I mean, he knows Jesus is going to die. He's not getting off the cross. He's not staging a rebellion against the Roman Empire. He's dying. But this man somehow has come to the point that he trusts Jesus. Even though he's dying on a cross, even though he looks weak and defeated, this one criminal says, hey, remember me. That's all he says, remember me. Jesus answers, truly, really, honestly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. There was no service for him. He didn't get off and do some things, this criminal. He didn't get baptized. He didn't read his Bible. He hadn't gone to church. He hadn't gone and done some work project. He had done none of those things. Yet, Jesus says, your deeds are forgiven. I'm not holding them against you. You've done nothing positive up until this point, except say, remember me. That's it. Which is amazing, because that means every one of us in this room, if we haven't said yes to Jesus, if we say yes to Jesus, and we leave this place and our life ends before we do any of the churchy religious things, we're in because of what Jesus did, not because of the churchy religious things. Those are an expression of our faith, not the thing that captivates us, that makes us saved, that makes us have a relationship with God. So it's pretty, pretty awesome that this thief dying on the cross, who started off hurling insults at Jesus, changes his mind. Maybe you came today because someone dragged you here promising you a good supper after church. Regardless, I hope you get one. You know, if you don't, boy, you lost twice, you know. Church and not a good supper. So if you promised, deliver, okay? But just this man in his pain and all that goes on, I could talk about how horrific it is. This was the most expensive way to die because it took time. They needed to tie up 4 Roman soldiers to make sure the person died. Usually it took days for them to die. It's just on and on and on and on. Terrible. They designed this. They saved this for the worst of the worst. Other people, they just ran them through. The worst of the worst got this way because it was supposed to tell people, if you cross us as the Roman Empire, this is what you get. And yet this man says, remember me. And Jesus says, no, first you need to get off this cross. You need to go do something nice, do some good works, and then get back on the cross and you'll be with me in heaven. No, instantaneously. Some of us who have been Christ followers for what seems like a zillion years and have kind of done things right have to come to terms with those things right are wonderful. But when it comes to the cross, when it comes to knowing Jesus, we're all on level ground. All of us. All of us need a Savior, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you don't know. It doesn't matter as long as you've placed your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Everyone who has to die once, then face the consequences. Christ's death was also a one-time event, but it was a sacrifice that took care of sins, being out of step with God, sins, being selfish, self-centered, took care of sins forever so that when he next appears, the outcome for those eager to greet him is precisely salvation. Him, himself. Read again from the Old Testament. You may discipline us for our many sins. This is talking to God. But never as much as we really deserve. Nor do you ever get even with us for what we've done. Do you have, had you ever had a situation where you've done something just super unkind, and you've asked sincerely for forgiveness, you repent, not going to do that again, and the person actually purges it from their memory. They never bring it up again. It's just never there. That's hard to come by. Even when it's meant, It's not that God forgets. He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't bring it up. So real quickly, just some thoughts here, and you can dive deeper into them throughout the week. There's a think it over section on the back of your message guide. First of all, is that we deserve death, but Jesus gave his life. When people sin, they earn the sin pay. They earn what sin pays, and that is death. But God gives his people a free gift, not free to him, but free to us, eternal life in Christ, Jesus our Lord. It starts now and goes into eternity. We start walking with God, as you heard those testimonies, those people sharing their stories. We start and we walk from this chapter of life into the next chapter of life, eternity, arm in arm with God. You see, good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Have you been forgiven? And that idea of when we're walking with Christ, Jesus says this about himself. He says, I came so they can have real life and eternal life, more and more better life than they ever dreamed of. Life that is full and good. That's why Jesus came. Not to give you a bunch of rules, not to cramp your style, none of those kinds of things. Came to give you full life, new life that starts now and just continues to blossom throughout eternity. We also deserve condemnation. We deserve to be just talked down to, but Jesus gives us mercy. 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 He just is merciful, not receiving the sentence we deserve. That's mercy. Have you ever had the upper hand on somebody and they deserve to really get it? And you give them mercy. You back off and you say, you know, I'm just going to let this go. Have you ever had a debt forgiven? Sometimes there are situations where we take a little, borrow a little money from our parents. I'm not telling you necessarily you have to do this. And then all of a sudden it comes to the point of paying it. And our parents say, just don't worry about it. They give us mercy. What about mercy, again, when you've done something, when you've broken something, you borrow something from somebody and you destroy it and you bring it back and it's in pieces and they're like, don't worry about it. They give you mercy. Looking around, she replied, I see no one, Lord. This is the woman caught in adultery. She needed mercy. Then I certainly don't condemn you either. Go from now on, be free from a life of sin. If you're kind of new to church, or haven't been to church in a while, in a situation like this, you probably haven't experienced much mercy from other Christians. When you're caught and stuck in something that's not too good or naughty, a lot of times they're nah, 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 nah. Jesus is not that way. Not that way. He doesn't condemn you. He offers mercy. He offers forgiveness. You can receive it. You can be free. And then he says, and don't get stuck with it, because I'm sure Jesus is saying to this woman caught in adultery, well, always remember, where's the man? There's two people. If they're caught in adultery, they kind of let the guy get off. But where's the man? But, you know, just the fact that he gives her mercy. He says, how's that kind of life working for you? And I'm sure she would say, well, it's not working really well for me. Well, step away from that. Step into what I'm offering you. We deserve conviction, to be convicted, but God gives us, Jesus gives us grace. Grace is receiving the good we don't deserve, being graceful. Jesus answered them, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise, a place of well-being, grace. When you say yes to Christ and you look at your life and you can just kind of settle back into that easy boy chair of grace, that lazy boy, you just get in there and now they have ones that massage you and heat it up and a little drink holder, can plug your phone in, and you're just like, you know, you're just in there. Some of us have spouses that say, get out of that chair. Have you been in there all day? Yes, I have. But, you know, it's just, ooh, it's so good. It's So good. Grace. Resting in the grace, a place of well-being. That place of well-being has that idea of that word shalom. We think of shalom being peace. We want peace, but absent of conflict, shalom peace is so much larger and bigger than that. Shalom means may you be healthy, whole, complete, and know where you fit in the universe while finding tranquility there. Who doesn't want that? I want two scoops of that for Thanksgiving or for Easter dinner, right? I want that kind of peace, a place of well-being. Jesus offers that. We heard that from some of the folks getting baptized. Hard times. It's not just they throw a switch, but they go back and forth and they find peace. They just didn't say that. I asked them a couple questions and they said those things. I didn't like coax them. Now this is the place where you talk about peace so people will say, yeah, I want to be a Christian. No, I didn't say any of that stuff. They just said what was on their hearts. Don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you believe in God. Now trust and believe in me also. Again, resting in him. Also, we have this idea of we deserve rejection, but Jesus gives us acceptance. I'm sure none of this ever happened to you, but ever you've been in a gym class or they're picking up sports teams, and there's like a pile of kids and you're one of the kids. This just happened to me a couple weeks ago at youth group. Hey, look at me. I am athletic to the, and we were playing hockey, and they're picking the teams and I got picked last. That's rejection. They at least didn't say, oh, you take him. No, you take him. You don't. No, you. They didn't do that. All right, who gets Dave? All right. Then I went around. Never mind. Tried to school them in the art of hockey. But anyway, there's a character called Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, a dishonest businessman. The way he made all his money is by unfairly gouging other people, and he was good at it, and he was rich. He was so good at it that he had people working for him. When he comes into the spear of Jesus, he climbs a tree. He wants to see Jesus. He was you remember the story, some of us in Sunday school, wee little man was he. Zacchaeus, that was him. And he's there, and Jesus accepts him. When Jesus comes by, he looks up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. That was a sign. I'm going to associate with you. I'm going to your place. That means I accept you. And he does. And we don't have a glimpse of all the conversation, but after the end of the conversation, Zacchaeus says, I'm going to make it right. All the people I've been dishonest to, I am going to make it right. And it sounds like that would have been a complicated budgeting, accounting thing, but he pledged to do that. And Jesus says afterwards, salvation has come to this home, not because of what he did, but what he did showed that salvation came to his home. So Christians, Christ followers, does salvation show up in your life by what you do? Do people say, salvation's in that person's life because they're following Jesus? Zacchaeus turned instantly, and the religious people were coming unglued. They were going nuts. Some of us in this room would be those religious people going nuts. And I say to you, shame on you, shame on me. Look what Jesus did all over the place. Now, acceptance is not approval of behavior. This doesn't mean we get a pass on behavior that does not honor God, that does not align with how he would have us to be. But we work that out. Jesus says to the woman, go and sin no more. We have to work that out. Our behavior ought to change, not because we're earning something, not because we're showing off, not because of any other reason, but our heart is changing. If your behavior isn't changing, that means your heart is not changing. No excuses for that. That's the reality. I have to ask myself, Pastor Dave, how have I changed in the last 6 months? Am I growing? Am I nicer? Am I being more loving at home? Am I doing more chores around the house so Cindy doesn't have to do them? That is Me being loving, kind? Are my thoughts and mind things changing? My insides changing? My behavior changes? It doesn't work the own way. You can only kind of hold your behavior together without a heart change for so long. Eventually, you get backed into a corner and the old you comes right out when there's been no heart change. It's another thing. If you call yourself a Christ follower and you get backed into a corner and wee, out comes this, you know, where'd that person come from? That means your heart hasn't been changing that much. And that's, you should say, wow, I want my heart to change. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get back in the corner and go, wee, you know, at somebody. I want to be kind. I want to be like Jesus. I want to say, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Yikes, that's a little too much Christian stuff in me to do that, but that's where we're moving towards. Again, Jesus says salvation has come to this home because it's expressed through actions, just like baptism expresses a change in your heart. Lastly, we deserve to be ignored, but Jesus gives us another opportunity. You go, what is this all about? If you watch the disciples after Jesus' death, they blow it. Peter really blows it. Peter is like denying Christ. He can see Christ, and Christ into their eyes connect as they're denying. Peter earlier said, you know, I'll give my life for you. I'll do anything for you. Even if these other bozo disciples don't, I will. And he is like known as the one who denied Christ not once, twice, or three times. And it's just like, whoa. But Jesus gives him another chance. So this morning, if you've backed off from faith, you've said yes to Christ, you've blown it, people know it, or you just know it. Maybe it's all internal. Realize that we deserve to be ignored. Jesus sure has just said, forget you, Peter. But later on, when the disciples find out that Jesus has been raised from the dead, it's interesting. A girl noticed this is the Peter thing. And then later on, we see that Jesus says, even Peter, or include Peter, or whatever. Because Peter was the one that had botched it the worst. And Jesus said, you know, I'm not going to ignore you. Another life lesson for us who are Christians. When someone sticks a knife in your back and twists it around a few times, are you able to ignore them and give them another chance? Doesn't mean you become a doormat. It doesn't mean you facilitate bad behavior, but it means that you give people a second chance. Missing the mark, sin, is another opportunity to start over. Not end, but start over. We see that like Peter, we underestimate our weakness from time to time. Like Peter, we follow Jesus at a distance. Because when we follow Jesus at a distance, when he speaks to our heart, it's kind of like, oh, did I really hear that right? Did I really hear that right? Sometimes I like when Cindy's like telling me things from the other room and the TV's on and I turn the TV up louder so I can't hear her. No, I don't do that. But that'd be one way not to hear her. I really don't do that, honey. That's what we do with our relationship with God. We turn other things up. So the bottom line is this, and the bottom line is filled with hope. Have you rejected rejection and accepted that you are accepted? No matter where you're at, if you say yes to Christ, you're not rejected. You can reject rejection and know that you're accepted and accepted by him where you're at, with the desire that you'll grow, not so you keep more rules, but so that you experience God more in your life. Now this morning, I don't know where you're at, but if you're thinking about how good is good enough, we have a little booklet in the packets outside in the commons. Love you to pick up a copy of this. It's like 90 pages. You can read it in less than an hour, and it just talks about some of those ideas. Also, if you're wrestling with what it means to know God even more, you can take a look at this, and this will help you out with that. It just says, knowing God personally, it's just straightforward. I encourage you to do that. if you're the guest this morning, or even if you're not a guest this morning and you've never, don't have a paper copy of a Bible, feel free to take the Rack Bible as a gift from Seneca Community Church. It's good to be reading. We heard some of the folks that got baptized are talking about spending time with God on a regular basis. You see, you can reject the rejection of the world, of your family, of your friends, at work, wherever, because Jesus accepts you. And you need to accept the fact that he is completely accepting you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the gift of your son. When we really slow down and start to think about what he did, it blows our mind. Father, we're all at different ages and stages in this room of life. I pray that no matter where we're at, the person that's still maybe unconvinced and the person that is convinced, that all of us could understand that you do not reject us. You accept us. And would we lean into you rather than